Doug Greenan. I'm the publisher of Telecom Reseller, and this is a special podcast for Telecom Reseller, TR Publications, and the Cloud Communications Alliance. And I have with me today Matt Townend, who is the executive director of Cavell. Matt, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for coming, Doug. Nice to see you.
Well, this is very exciting. It's great to be in person again, to be at this event again, in a very changed world. So we're going to be diving into that in just a second. Matt, first of all, what is Cavell?
Well, Cavell is really a knowledge business. We are well known, and we've been following and tracking the move to cloud services over the last 12 to 15 years. Well known in Europe for providing most of the data on that transition, particularly in the communication space, to cloud communications, but also in the networking space. So we provide research, analytics, run events, and also these days do a lot of work in the M&A field on due diligence and helping companies buy other companies. Kind of who we are.
And what is the CloudCom Summit?
The CloudCom Summit has been running for now nearly 7 years, and this is our third in-person US version, and we've been running it overall around the world for about 7 years. It was really an opportunity to bring the industry together. So there's lots of events in the market which are focused on the enterprise, on some on the channel, but there was nowhere really where the service providers met. So we started this event, as I say, about 7 years ago in Europe, and we brought it here in a partnership with the CCA about 4 years ago. We're pleased to be back in person because the last couple of years, obviously, we've been virtual. So it's really to bring that community together, to share ideas, to share innovation, to meet really for the service providers to really find out what they should be doing next.
So this is a spoiler alert. I understand that later on today and tomorrow we're going to be learning about something you're calling the Great Reset. What is that?
Yeah, well, I'm a bit old, a bit long in the tooth, being in this industry a long time. And this right now, we're seeing really what I think is a strategy reset for a lot of service providers who've been focused around the business communication space. Service providers in the business communication space have been very focused on product sales, making strong margins, and a lot of that is up. The challenge. So where traditionally service providers would make money out of the call control, whether that be setting a PBX or even a cloud service, you know, with a new world of collaboration coming along, people might have been making like $27 a seat, are now looking at making $6 a seat. They were at 70 points of margin, sometimes now they're down at 40 points of margin. Their usage, where they made money as well, is dropping. And really, so they're being challenged to rethink that business model around we just focus on products,
right,
to think broader. And that's what I'm saying the big strategy reset is, service providers kind of thinking, you know, where are we going to make money in the future?
Well, before you tell me a little bit about what your thinking is about what the answer to that riddle is, I have to say, what did the survey say? You guys are famous for coming forth every year with the survey. We'll be posting this after the event, so I hope you're able to tell us a little bit about what you got out.
We obviously, as a research business, do enterprise service surveys in the US and industry surveys, and we also do a survey of the CCA's membership, so the CCA members and what they're thinking. And some of the interesting things I think that we're going to maybe hear about later is who they think are going to be their competitors in the future. So it kind of signifies some of the change we're going to see. Rather than seeing probably their traditional competitors being the likes of Ring and 8x8 or AT&T, Verizon, those sorts of people, they're now talking about, and if you ask them where they think they'll be competing in 4 or 5 years, it is against the CPaaS operators, it's against the CCaaS operators. As we see communications become more personalized, and the importance of customer communications come to the fore of business communications as a whole. So I think that's kind of one of the big things that we'll be talking about later, and that we'll have people thinking a little bit is, how that market is changing and who you're competing with, and you know, where's your frame of relevance now. So yeah, that's one of the big things.
So here's the riddle. How do I make money if we went from $20 or $30 a seat to $6?
Well, the good news is not everybody's going from $27 to $6, I should say. Yeah. But, I mean, if you're starting just to sell the more collaboration-focused service, if you're selling Teams or maybe if you're selling a Zoom phone or whatever, or even if you're reselling a managed service from somebody to the service provider, their revenue and margin is definitely coming down. Now, mostly that collaboration conundrum is at the moment more prevalent in larger and mid-sized businesses than it is small. So it's not like everybody's going to be affected. But when I talk to people who are doing well, they talk about a few things. They talk about, don't forget the services that are sold around that core product. So if you focus on just selling the product, there's lots of add-on services that bring value, whether analytics, whether they're reporting, whether they're recording, whether some of the smaller microservices, if you like, are still high margin and add a lot of value. The other area that's really key and comes through a lot of our research is integration. So our enterprise researchers, is Travel's hat on, we do US enterprise research, shows us that if you integrate with multiple services, then you're more likely to keep the customer, is less likely to move. So integration is becoming a key area. The other thing is really thinking about where you play in the stack. When I say the stack, I mean, you know, do you just stay in your lane? Do you just stay in cloud communications? Is there going to be pure cloud communication provider in 5 years? I don't know. I think where you can add value quite often is bundling in and selling in other layers, you know, whether you go into productivity services, whether you come down into access, whether you start offering security, starting offering analytics through the stack. So I think there's lots of opportunity. Our research shows that generally IT budgets and communications budgets are either flat or going up. So, you know, there's still plenty of money around. It's just a case of kind of rethinking where you can create value. And I think some of the heart of it is analytics. Some of the heart of it is about integration. And some of it's thinking about those microservices. Lots of people talk about pro services, getting into professional services. And when I talk to people, they say, yeah, that's interesting, but it's a high cost, high risk kind of area. But if you can help people migrate with tools and capabilities, for instance, which are productized to some degree, I think that you've just got to open your mind more to, you know, where you can make value and really focus back on what is the customer requirement that you're trying to serve, you know, rather than be product and silo focused. So often I'm doing strategy work with service providers in the US and around the world, and I work with their product team, and, you know, I'm working with somebody who's the ICN product manager or he's not going to want to move because, you know, by the way, his job's on the line. So you have to have a broader sense of product strategy.
So let me add one other little wrinkle to the landscape you're describing. We seem to be hearing more and more about the carriers, mobile carriers and so on, in a sense directly entering our market, not just offering a fat dumb pipe, but wanting to basically sell a lot of these services also themselves directly.
Yeah, and if we work around the world and we provide research, and there's very big differences between different markets, actually. So if you were to look at Spain, Telefónica has been very dominant, even in the cloud comms space. We go to places like Germany and UK, they have been, they're there, but they're not quite as successful. So I think there's a different picture depending on kind of where you're at. But certainly, you know, there is an argument that, you know, a bundled offer is really important in the future. And if the bundle offer means mobile or fixed, if you've already got those in your armory, then, you know, you may be in a stronger position. So, yeah, I certainly think some of the players are waking up that maybe my customer wants a blend of services in a lot of cases, with security, with access, with, you know, some that puts some of those MSPs or some of the larger carriers in a strong position.
Now, let's take these communities one by one. We're here with the cloud communications group. What's your advice to these companies? This group.
Well, this group is quite a diverse group, actually. And the great thing about this group is it's full of innovators. It's full of people who've already seen, you know, innovated and moved, you know, moved the market away from...
Moved away from the cheese.
They did it once before. So they were the guys who kind of realized that the PBX was dead. And so I have a lot of hope for them because they're all entrepreneurs and always looking for that next big thing. So for this community, and this community also has pure cloud comms guys, but if you look at that, there's not me now. A lot of those have been bought, apart from the real scaled players like 8x8 Ring, those sorts of guys. A lot of the other guys have been either acquired or become a broader MSP with other capabilities. So a lot of them have got either specialized vertical capabilities or they've got other product capabilities in their piece. So the general audience, you know, who are coming here is a mixture of those different groups. But I think they'll do very well because there, some of them are already kind of onto the next thing and working out how they innovate. So I, you know, these are the innovators of the industry. So I think they'll be fine. I don't, as I say, I doubt whether there is just going to be pure cloud comms players. And certainly in Europe, you know, I spend a lot of time in Europe, we don't see that quite as readily. So even if you hear some big names there like Gamma, Destiny, EnReach, they're all actually, and they've all got multiple services. They're not just selling, you know, cloud communication. So I wonder how that will change. And even here, obviously 8x8 and Ring have got into the contact center space and integrated those pieces. So I don't know if there will be a pure cloud comms player in 5 years' time, to be honest.
Now, downstream a little bit, did you have any advice to offer to the channel partner community and managed service provider community? Where do they fit into the mix in the future going forward?
Well, the interesting thing is another thing that came out of the CCA research is that the service providers still see it as a massively important channel and actually increasingly important channel. But the challenge is, as you probably some people in that channel will know, they're receiving like 25 points of margin off every sale. Sometimes they're being offered just like 8x revenue. And that isn't sustainable, just not a sustainable model. And so, you know, some people will be having some very good times in the agent world right now in the US. It's quite a US phenomenon, actually. And we've actually seen a lot of investment into the agent channel because if you look where the value's been created across the channel, but a bigger piece of it is being delivered in, you know, is being potentially consumed within the agent community. So I think they should prepare themselves for some different commercial models. They should think, again, like the advice I was saying more generally, they should be thinking of themselves in a broader stack context. It doesn't necessarily mean they have to sell lots of different services, but they have to work out where they play in those different areas. I would say to them, if you've got some specialization, make the most of it. So if you've got some vertical specialization or you've got some specific area of expertise, you know, really double down on that because we see a lot of differentiation coming from there. I still keep quite a varied supplier group because I think there's going to be some winners and losers out there. And you know, you want to make sure that you've not got all your eggs in one basket.
You're actually promoting the idea of portfolio diversification.
Yeah, I think so. And the other thing I would say, which is really fascinating, is what's going to happen to price in the US market. I would argue that business communications is the only utility that hasn't just gone from a major change. So I heard a scary figure from a major network provider that told me his costs down to power alone were going to go up by 100% on his core network. At some point, that is going to ripple through the channels to the end customer. So I might even advise an enterprise to go for a long-term contract at a current price, which we've been saying for years, you know, you should get rid of those long-term prices. You shouldn't secure your price. You should get the cheapest price you can at the moment. I think that might be the wrong advice.
Well, thank you for giving me a headline for our enterprise readers. Apparently, you do have some advice for our folks that are listening to this as essentially consumers of the product.
Yeah, no, and we do enterprise research. What's really interesting is the biggest, on our US enterprise research, the biggest thing that SMBs are looking for is working out how they can communicate better with their customers. So that customer communication is coming right through the enterprise. So I think that's a big driver.
One last constituency would be the developers. We have some of them with us today. And what I'm talking about actually are companies that produce products, sometimes physical products, software, and so on, that, you know, headsets, software and so on. Where, you know, as they look forward, do you have any advice to offer that community?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of the software guys will do very well. I mean, some of the guys here and some of the sponsors have done very well around integrations. We've got people here like Tollring, like BroadSource, people like that who have done integration-based software and Mondigo. I think that has a big role, and that's probably a growing kind of role. So I think some of the software guys have already worked out niches and worked out what they do. In terms of hardware guys, it's a little bit harder to work out exactly who's going to win and lose. Obviously, they've had some problems with supply recently and other issues. But I think you're seeing then move with the customer. So they're starting to make more devices for the hybrid home, for the workplace. So I think those guys are just going to have to keep a very sharp eye on where the customer requirement is going. And there's always a role, I mean, always a role for hardware. There's still a very big role for the hardware, but it might be little devices like you've got in front of me rather than, you know, massive room kits. It might be, you know, but so I think they've just got to keep a breath. It's a time to be agile if you're a vendor rather than, a time to build out huge manufacturing lines for a single product. It's probably a time to just think kind of how things are moving.
So I'm really glad that you asked about the, you know, you brought up the hybrid worker thing. We're in a space that's been basically reinvented here in Chicago. I think this space probably used to house or would have housed offices. Now it's offering this sort of really cool open space. But we're hearing from lots of people that, you know, thousands of workers now work in their home, and they come into a space like this maybe once a week. So what does that mean for everybody involved, everyone listening?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we can give it a plug. It's a company called Convene, which is a company that we're working with on our conferences now. And they've taken possibly the WeWork idea and turned it into conference space, which is really interesting. I think what it means is there's a couple of pressures put on the enterprise now. There's a security pressure. So the pressure, and this is where we're seeing the growth of things like SASE, where people are trying to now understand and secure those spaces. And that's one of the biggest concerns as you go particularly towards large enterprise in our research, is actually securing these types of location. The other thing is around analytics and understanding how people are working with their customers as you decentralize. So we've seen quite a lot of focus by most of the cloud comms guys on analytics, both customer side, but also looking at how the employees working and interacting in the business environment. And I think that's another big area that's going to come out of this change that we're going to see a lot of investment piling into. So I think there's some things like that for the which are going to affect the industry and affect the market. But I really love using these sorts of spaces now. Yeah. I mean, I'm set up of hotels with dark, dingy rooms that I hire out, and I feel like they don't quite
from another era.
Whereas now I want to be in these sorts of modern spaces. So yeah, I'm really excited to be here. So I think that's some of the trends.
And this sort of connects with what you just said in terms of a sort of mindset of being agile. In other words, you have to think of this, of what we do, as something that's done wherever it's done, not as a place or a thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We've always worked flexibly with my business. But interestingly, my business went and leased an office space during COVID. So there is another side of it where
you guys are a little radical.
Yeah, we're radical because I had a lot of young people working for me and they needed to be in office space a couple of days a week. They don't want to be there 5 days a week, but there is definitely a role for the office space, but it's a different role than it was. It's more about collaboration and innovation. And a lot of the research shows the problem with decentralization and hybrid working is it improves productivity, it reduces innovation.
Right.
So you still need to bring people together, and they have to be in spaces where they're going to feel like they can innovate, not in spaces that make them feel like they want to be back at home.
And you know, on a human level, you were just telling me that a lot of people on your team are busy growing their families and so on. There is the need, I hear it all the time, of people saying, hey, my family, I love them, but they're driving me crazy. I need to have a place every now and then to go to work, no block of work, no one bugs me.
Absolutely. So you need to offer that flexibility. And let's be realistic, we're a people business in the business I run, but, you know, and we've got to offer the right things to our employees. They won't stay around. So we have to, it's not a choice.
The great resignation continues to be an issue.
Yeah.
Well, Matt, this has been really interesting. I'm glad you were able to give everybody a little glimpse of this summit and also what Cavell does. Where can we learn more about Cavell and also your events?
Well, best place is going to be cavellgroup.com. And you'll see the events and the research portfolio that we have there, both of enterprise research and also industry research, all around this transition to cloud. So it's probably the best place to pop by, and you'll find opportunity to catch up with one of the team there and feel free, you know, through that. I'd love to talk to anybody.
Well, Matt, thank you very much indeed for joining me today. We're looking forward to our next podcast with you. Hope you have a great summit.
Thanks very much.